Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. The Battle Hymn of the Republic that we sang just a few moments ago is centered in one concept. The thought of hope. This nation was founded by people escaping tyranny from their hometowns, their home countries, so that they could come to a new world, a new place. And so yesterday we celebrated the independence. Mine eyes have seen the glory. The glory. The glory of God. Founded on hope. The second song we sang this morning was Onward Christian Soldiers. I'm reminded that in the days of the Roman Empire, the leaders of the campaign, whether it be Julius Caesar or whether it be Titus or one of the other leaders, employed the army at their own expense. That the soldiers traveled on the hope of sharing in the, what's the word? The booty? The bounty? In the spoils of the war. Yet, Jesus reminds us that in talking about the parable of the sower and the seed, He describes the seed as being that which produces and grows. He talks about some soil that is rocky, some soil that does not produce. And then He talks about the soil that produces, and yet the crop is choked out by the cares of this world. So this morning I wanted to take just a few moments and let us look what happened. I lost it. I want to look at hope. Hope, the foundation of this country. Hope. It's an interesting thing. As we've studied before in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, God planned a plan before the beginning of the foundation of the earth that He would be able to present men to Him blameless and holy. That was God's plan. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, we read that God and man met as good friends shouldn't do. In the cool of the evening, it was the habit of God and man to be together, to talk, to share. Hope. Hope was lost in the garden. When sin entered the world, that barrier between God and man came crashing down. And hope was lost. Hope. It was given as a sign in the sky. Never again would God destroy mankind by a flood. And so God made a promise that He made thousands of years ago and is true today. And He gave us a son that we would have hope. He gave us a bow in the sky as a promise that never again would He destroy man. Hope. Have you ever considered Abram? He moved from Haran over to Ur, or is that vice versa? Vice versa? I get confused, Katie. He moved from one city to another city with his father and his nephew. What did he have to look forward to for tomorrow? Grass growing, sheep eating, day-to-day existence going on. But in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, God acted. And God gave Abram what? Hope. He said, go into a land which I will show you, and I will make you a father of a great nation. He describes this promise that through your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Hope was given to Abraham. Abram, and Abram moved. What caused Abram to move? It was not a famine. It was not disease. It was not pestilence. It was not the violence of the community. It was hope. There once was a little boy that we read about in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He was a little shepherd boy, but he was a boy. He was not a strong man. He was not a leader of nations. He was a boy. A boy that took care of sheep. He was a boy that heard God's people being slandered by a filthy beast, by a giant of a man, that had the army quivering and shaking in their boots. This little boy had hope because God had been with him when he faced the lion, the bear, and any other jackal that tried to take the sheep away from his flock. God was with him. He had hope. And he faced the giant. Hope. We read about a man that had hope, and he was not of the children of God. He was a captain of a foreign army. The army of the Arameans. We read about the event in 2 Kings chapter 5, about how he was victorious, but this guy had a problem. And it was not bad breath. What he had is he had a problem of leprosy. You think kings, rulers, just allowed anybody to walk in on to them? To come into them and say, I need your help. Hope caused this man to take action and to go see his king. He had heard a story. A captive little girl had told a story that if he would just go and see the prophet of God, he could be healed. This man, based on the hope of that little girl's story, went to go see his king. It was this same captain that journeyed to a foreign land, to a land of the enemy. Remember, the little girl was a captive. And he was accompanied with money, with rewards that any king would be tempted by. Hope. Hope is what caused him to act. The hope that he might find a cure for a disease. Well, we're talking about hope. We've got to make a distinction because we sometimes use hope for the word wish or for the word want. Now, I hope that someday when I'm home, somebody will be pounding on my door with a publisher's clearinghouse oversized check. Now, wouldn't that be a great thing? Jack, you have now been rewarded $1 million a month for the rest of your life. What a hope that would be! Is that hope? Well, first of all, we have to consider the odds. And the odds are 1 in, what, 25 million? that something like that could happen. But that's always going to be a wish unless I actually enter the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes. See, they don't know Jack from Adam until I send in the certificate, right? Until I enter the sweepstakes, it's not really hope. It's a wish. It's a want. It's a desire. It's a hankering. But it's not hope. Hope requires trust in it being fulfilled. It has that element in it that says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it. As long as Naaman stayed in the kingdom of Aramea, Daniel, correct me on my pronunciation. As long as he stayed in his home country, what was he? He was a leper. It was hope that caused him to talk to his king. It was hope that caused him to journey to see the prophet of God. So, I want to talk a little bit about hope and know that we're not talking about a wish or a want or a hankering. We want to talk about hope. Well, I was talking about hope one day. And one person told me, I don't really like to set my hopes or get my hopes set on anything. Because if they're not fulfilled, I am crushed. More crushed than I had ever would have been if I hadn't hoped at all. Well, I guess that makes sense somehow. If you don't ever step out, you don't know what's out there. Of course, you never step outside your house, you never get frostbite. If you never step outside your house, you should never suffer heat stroke. If you never... It's kind of a fatalistic thought, isn't it? I don't like to set my hopes on anything because if not fulfilled, I'm more crushed than not having hoped at all. That fatalistic thought underscores falsehood. Who are you putting your hope in? What are you putting your hope in? If you're putting your hope in Jack, folks, I've got a confession. Jack's not perfect. Jack's going to let you down. We have just seen that God gave us a bow in the sky as proof that we might have hope. And He has kept that promise for day, month, year, centuries, for thousands of years. Can God be trusted? The proof's in the pudding. God is trustworthy. Mankind is not. I have a shirt that when we went to the store, we went to Walmart one day, and I was wearing the shirt, and I was attacked. I was attacked. Somebody, a foreign stranger I had never seen before in my life, came up and attacked me to shake my hand. Yep. The shirt says the saying from Oda. You know who Oda is? He's the scrawny looking ugly little monster that teaches Luke Skywalker the Force. Oda says, do or don't do, there is no try. Do or don't do. Where do we get this concept of, oh, well, I'll try to be there. I'll try. No, no. You either will or you won't. Sometimes we use that word try as an excuse. Well, distress and despair. One person told me, about hope says, hope causes stress. I want to live one day at a time. Does that make sense? How many of you save up for retirement? Hopefully we all do. And if not, we're already enjoying that retirement, right? One day at a time. Hope causes stress. I don't understand. Well, another statement that's made is, I can't do anything about it to change anything anyway. Whatever will be, will be. Now that's kind of an old song, isn't it? Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. The leaves will fall and the grass will grow and I'm no more important than the frog in the pond. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Are you not more worthy? Are you not more important to God than a jillion sparrows? God says, I've counted every hair on your head. I know you. Hope. Well, let's get away from distress and despair. But before we do, we need to understand, what is distress and despair? Without hope, well, let's just see what Paul says. Remember that you were at the time, number one, catch this, separate from Christ. All of those who are separate from Christ, I'm not condemning, folks. Remember that you were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having what? No hope, and without God in the world. This is the manner of life in which you live. If you're without Christ, you're without hope, and you're without God. You are like sheep without a shepherd, in despair and distress. Well, that is not what God's plan was. Because as we look at hope, we need to understand that hope is the element of faith. It is part of faith. Now, faith is the, what? Assurance of things wished for? No. It is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. That's the definition of faith. It doesn't matter how anybody else defines faith. God says, faith is the assurance of things, what? Hoped for. And the conviction of things not seen. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This hope, this is the hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, the one that enters within the veil. See, sin separated us from God. That was the reason why Moses could not alter the picture or the making of the tabernacle. That illustrated our relationship with God, with the veils and with the barriers between us and God. But hope exists, that we have an anchor beyond that veil. We enter into the presence of God, because that's where Jesus entered as our forerunner. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you may know what is the wish? What? No. The hope of God's calling. That there, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance? That is our hope. That our eyes will be enlightened, that we will understand what God has given us. His glory. What is hope? That we are eagerly waiting our adoption, which is the redemption of our body, for in hope. Do you look at this? Look at this passage, Romans chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. Notice the word hope. Notice the word hope. Notice the word hope. Hope. and hope. 5 times in this passage. Waiting eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our body, for in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is no longer hope. For who hopes in what they've already seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, for what perseverance we eagerly waited. What does that mean? That means, Paul, we have hope and we're working toward it and we're growing toward it. We haven't realized it yet because it is still hope. But hope is that which is defended. As Peter writes, but sanctify Christ Jesus as Lord in your hearts, always being able to make a defense to everyone who asks of you to give an account for the good feelings, for the obedience, for the what? Peter says, for the hope that is within you, yet within gentleness and gentleness and what? Reverence. How we do so. How we teach. How we defend the faith. It is important, but we do so with hope. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and through encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Why do people hear the Word of God? Why is the Word of God choked out by the current concerns and cares of the world? Because perhaps they've lost hope. Perhaps they've lost hope. Whatever was written earlier times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and encouragement of Scriptures we might have hope. Well, let's look at that then. Let's look at these Scriptures to look at the hope. If you've got your Bibles handy, let's turn to the passage that Bill just read to us just a few moments ago. Psalm 71. Psalm 71. This was a psalm that the title is not listed as to whom it is. Who wrote it? We think that it was written by David in the after years of his life. Because in the verses that are contained, it talks about being gray-haired and old. It talks about how enemies are looking upon him and him not being strong and defendable. This psalm talks about hope. There's technical ways to study the psalm, and if we were really to look at the technical ways, we could see that it's divided in about two parts, verses 1 through 4, and et cetera, et cetera. We'd see that it's in kind of a rhythmatic context, a 5-4-5 setting, whatever that means. I didn't do well in poetry, so that doesn't mean too much to me. But verse 14 of this passage should mean something to all of us. Verse 14. But as for me, I will wish. How's that song go? Wish on a falling star. Some people, their faith is like that. They're just, are you going to heaven? Oh, if the star falls right. If, where's your hope? Where's your hope? No, the psalmist wrote, but as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. We've only got a few minutes, so let's take a quick look at why he's talking about hope in verse 14. In the first verse, he provides, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. You have been my safety net. You have been my shelter. You have been my security all of my life. Look what he says in verse 2. And incline your ear to hear. Now, sometimes, to some of us, that's important. To be heard. To be heard. I can have the radio on at the house all day long. And you know, the noise is just background noise. It's just white noise. It's so that I don't hear all the other bumps and bangs and crunches and whatever's going on outside. Incline your ear that you may hear me. Honey, did you take the car out of the garage? No, dear, I didn't water the lawn. Huh? Where did sentence question one and answer two come from? You are not, what's the word? You're not listening. You're not hearing what I have to say. God, incline your ear to what? Hear me. Hear me. God, where's our hope? He provides our security. Be to me a rock of habitation, verse 3, which I may continually come. You have given commandment to me. You are my rock and you are my fortress. Ah, a mighty fortress is what? Our God. Where's our hope? He provides our security. He also provides our rescue. The 71st Psalm, we see something else about hope because God provides confidence in youth. Confidence in youth. There are some things that I just do not, I don't even like to do at the farm. Friday, we went down to the farm, Cheryl and I did. We've had an apple tree that's been dead for 2 years. Every time we look at it, Cheryl says, well, that tree's got to come down. Every time we look at it, I say, let's give it one more year. Its time ran out Friday. Well, before this past winter and working with a young man out, Brandon, out at the farm, I'd have been leery. But because we had worked together, because we had cut down cedars and we had cut down some oaks, or cut up some oaks, I had confidence. So when I went to go tackle that apple tree, there was no problem. I knew what to do. God gives hope to the young. Notice what he says here. He says, verse 5, for you are my hope, O God. You are the confidence from my youth. For by you I have been sustained from my birth. You are the one who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have become a marvel to many. They laugh at me. They mock at me. They throw rocks and have fun. For you are my refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise. Because, one, my mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Don't cast me off in the time of my old age, nor forsake me when my strength fails. Verse 10. For my enemies have spoken against me. And those who watch for my life have consulted together. They're ganging up. They're planning. They're trying to get their act together that they can take my life. Saying that surely God's forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to come to his aid. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are my adversaries, the adversaries of my soul, be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered and with reproach and dishonor. Why? For me, I will hope continually, verse 14, and will praise you yet even more and more. Why? Because you teach me. You guide me. You help me. And you provide confidence even when my hair turns gray. Even when I'm old. Even when I am weak. When the enemy, when the wolf is barking at the door. When... What was that that Paul wrote to the Corinthians? That there is no temptation that is uncommon to man. But what? God provides a way out. Something like that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God provides. He gives confidence even to the aged. What is the hope? Hope produces a reaction. The psalmist says, I hope and I sit on my hands and feet. Right? If we have hope, we do nothing. That's not the concept of the psalmist. The psalmist says, I hope and I shout. I hope and I sing. I hope and I praise for your glory. And not only does it, he praise, but he lives in that glory. He lives in that glory. He lives in that hope. He lives in that praise. He lives in the confidence that God has given him because through his word, God has proven trustworthy. God has proven faithful. God has proven to be our aid. And he is the one that cannot fail. Hope? How do we retain that hope? Well, Paul in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, seek things that are above. Sometimes we can get lost on the clutter. Sometimes we can get lost. What is that saying? Can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes we are so busy with the minute garbage of life that the clouds dim. How do we maintain our hope? By seeking the things that are above, setting our mind on things above, the things that are important, and live in accordance with that hope. How do we do so? By doing so, we rejoice in the Lord, we praise God, and we live with confidence. Are you going to heaven? Well, I think so. What? John wrote in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18 that you may with boldness, you with confidence, what? May believe in Christ. In His reward. Where is your hope? If your hope is a fleeting shadow, if your hope is in what Jack can do or what you can do, we're not strong enough. Our strength will wane. We're not rich enough. God has all blessings. Where is your hope? Well, this morning, that's the lesson I want to leave with you. Where is your hope? If your hope is on fleeting moments, on that trusty brand new car, what can happen? Car can get in a wreck. It's going to rust. The one thing I found out ever since Cheryl and I got smartphones, is it's already out of date. What am I saying? Set your hope on that which is not changeable, that does not change, that is consistent, that is faithful. This morning, if your hope is not anchored in Christ, if your hope is not in God, then you are without God. You have not sacrifice of Jesus, His blood cleansing you. This morning, if there's anything that we can do to help you with that hope, whether it is to further study God's Word, whether you're ready to be united with Christ in baptism, or for some other reason, you need the help of your brothers and sisters who also have this hope. make your need known. As we stand, we sing the song that Denny has selected, All Things Are Ready.